at that time. You know, typically, 2 weeks out from the annual backpack project, I speak on compassion. There are a few things we do together as a church body that so demonstrates the compassion of Jesus Christ to the Illinois Valley, as does this outreach. Once again, I want to challenge you today to both pray, to volunteer, and to give to this year's backpack project that will take place on Sunday, August the 11th. I would also encourage you to invite a friend to come to worship with you at 9:45, which will be abbreviated service, and then to serve alongside with you at the project on that day. Since we're in a series on the Gospel of Mark, I want to focus on what Mark records about the compassion of Jesus. If you're new as a part of this series, Mark is the most brief but the most fast-moving of the four gospel accounts. It was written primarily to Romans who were people of action. And today we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. So if you want to, again, turn back there with me, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Again, looking today at the compassion of Jesus. And we're going to base this upon a healing of Jesus of the man with leprosy. Verse 40, a man with leprosy came to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Verse 41 says, Jesus was indignant. Now, almost every translation except the one that I usually preach from, the NIV that was translated in 2011, says Jesus was filled with compassion. If you have the NIV 2011, if you go down to the bottom of the page, it says, many manuscripts says Jesus was filled with compassion. Now, I had a conversation with who I consider our resident Greek scholar, Mark Schuler, this past week, just graduated from seminary and has a real handle on the biblical languages. So on Monday, I gave him a call and I said, hey, let's talk about this particular Greek word. And we were in agreement that compassion fit the best. And most translations say compassion. However, some say he was filled with he was indignant or he was angry. And you know, sometimes anger is a part of compassion, to become angry with what the mess that people have made of their lives, to be angry at what Satan has done in people's lives. So Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for you for cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, verse 45 says, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Again, back to verse 41. Jesus was filled with compassion. Now, the biblical word compassion means to feel deeply. It means to feel to the deepest depths of one's being. The word literally means to feel to the depths of one's intestines or bowels. Now, we use the word heart today to describe such feelings. On numerous occasions in the gospel accounts, Jesus is described as being compassionate or feeling or showing compassion. In Mark's gospel, there are three occasions in which the word compassion is used in connection with the life and ministry of Jesus, or the text I read for you just a moment ago. And then in chapter 6, at the feeding of the 5,000, verse 34 says, he had compassion on them. And then later in chapter 8, at the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus said in verse 2, I have compassion on these people. Now, when I preached on the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 a few weeks back, I shared that the difference between Jesus and the disciples on that occasion was that the disciples saw the need. The disciples were aware of the need. However, Jesus felt the need. That's where compassion is, when we feel the need, when we enter into the need. I've shared this many times in preaching and teaching, but one of the major indicators or warning lights on the spiritual dashboard of my life that I know something is wrong is when I discover that my compassion tank is low. Listen, you are never more like Jesus than when you are filled with compassion and you are serving others. In this message, which I will be brief today because I want us to have time to respond to God's Word this morning, but in this message I will share two keys to having such compassion in our life. First, compassion is cultivated internally. It starts before it manifests itself externally. Compassion is cultivated internally. In verse 40 it says, "A man with leprosy came to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" This account is also found in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke gives a little bit of a different perspective, because Luke, if you're familiar with the Bible, Luke was a doctor, and Luke adds a couple things. First of all, he mentions the fact this man was covered with leprosy. He didn't just have leprosy, he was covered with leprosy. And it says that when he saw Jesus, Mark said that he fell on his knees, but Luke adds something else, that this man fell with his face to the ground and begged him. This diagnosis would likely put this man in the latter stages of the deterioration caused by leprosy. Today you rarely see anyone with leprosy unless you go into other places in the world, but I've seen on the streets of India people whose bodies are broken and deteriorating and missing parts of their limbs because of leprosy. Now, in that day, numerous skin conditions could come under the heading of leprosy. Having any form of leprosy, any kind of skin condition, would make a person an outcast to society. You no longer lived in town, in your house, or with your family. You see, lepers were found outside of the city limits in designated and desolate places. If anyone approached, they would have to cry out. Leviticus 13, verse 45 says they would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," if being approached by anyone. A leper's life was one of isolation, of loneliness. It was a life of disgrace. It was a life of hopelessness. Their existence at that time, and in many places in the world today, could only be described as a living death. The Old Testament treats leprosy as an emblem of sin. The Jews referred to it as the finger of God, indicating that the disease was regarded as a direct punishment from God Himself. So you not only had to deal with the condition of leprosy, but you had to deal with the stigma that this was the finger of God upon your life, punishing you for sin. I don't want you to miss what Jesus did in verse 41. It says, "He reached out His hand and He touched the man." Now, the first thing Jesus did was the last thing any other person would have dreamed of doing at that time. Why did Jesus reach out and touch this man, knowing that it would make him ceremonially unclean and it would infuriate the religious leaders of that day? Well, the reason is very simple, because Jesus was filled with compassion. The King James Version says He was moved with compassion. His compassion caused Him to do something, not just feel something. Let me ask you today, are you filled with compassion? Are you moved with compassion? Where is the dial, so to speak, on your compassion tank? You know, we are living in an age of rage. Our culture, the political climate is more divisive than it has ever been, at least in my lifetime. And I want to remind you, angry Christians and an angry church does not reach people for Jesus Christ. We will never reach people if they think we don't like them. But I tell you what will reach people with Christ, with the love of Christ, and that is compassion. Being filled with compassion, showing compassion, demonstrating compassion, reaching out and touching people that others would not think of touching. You know, anger and rage comes naturally. It's expressed easily. Just if you have Facebook, just sort of flip through the many posts, and it doesn't take very long to find some angry posts that are there. So it comes naturally. Compassion doesn't. It must be cultivated, and that happens internally. The inspired pen of the Apostle Paul records in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with..." The very first characteristic that's mentioned is, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Just a few verses earlier in chapter 8 there in Colossians chapter 3, it says, "But you must rid yourselves of these things," and note the first things that are mentioned there, "anger and rage." These things should not be a part of our lives, but we should be clothed with compassion. One Bible version renders this verse, "Dress in the wardrobe God has picked out for you." I can tell you, God has not laid out the robes of anger. He's not laid out the robes of rage or divisiveness for any of us, but He has laid out the robes of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. You see, compassion is cultivated through surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It comes as a fruit of submitting to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it will lead to a genuine sensitivity and a heartfelt sympathy for the needs of other people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it describes God in this way, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." And then in James chapter 5, verse 7. And the context there is he's speaking about Job. If you've read the book of Job, and right now in my personal devotion time, I'm reading in the book of Job. And every time I come to Job, I'll tell you, I approach it with mixed feelings. I know what the beginning is like, and that's perplexing. And I get to all of the speeches these friends made to Job. It's really perplexing, isn't it? Then you get to the final chapter and you see how it all turned out. Well, James, looking back on the life of Job, said this, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." You have probably heard it. Maybe you've said it. Someone tells you a real whopper. Someone talks about a fish story and they put their arms out. Or they give you an account of something and you say, you're full of it. you're full of it. That's usually taken in a very negative sense. But if you are full of compassion and mercy, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's what God calls us to be full of. So compassion is cultivated. First of all, it takes place internally. It's impossible to be filled with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. It's impossible to be filled with the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit and full of the Spirit and not also be filled with compassion. Compassion is also demonstrated externally. For Jesus, it started with a touch. It started with touching a man no one else would go near, let alone reach out and touch. I'm sure when Jesus reached out and touched this man, there were those who gasped once his hand made contact with this man. It started with a touch. Let me just ask you this morning, aren't you thankful for his touch? in your life? Do you remember where you were, at what state in life that you were in? Maybe how far away from God you were, or how deep you were in sin when He reached and touched your life? There's an old gospel song that says, "He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me, and He made me whole." We should be forever thankful for the touch of Jesus on our life. You know, when Jesus touched the lepers, they were cleansed. When He touched the eyes of the blind, they could suddenly see. When He touched the dead, they came to life. When He touches our sin, we are forgiven. When He touches the broken places of our lives, we are healed. You know, there's some things Jesus did that we can't do. I was talking to a friend on the phone the other day, Dr. Wayne Lee, who has preached here before and has helped our church a number of ways. And he said, you know, we have those bracelets, and you have probably seen them. Maybe you have one. There's nothing wrong with them. What would Jesus do? WWJD. And he said, I like the ones, what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus? And what Jesus is doing, we need to come along and we need to join in what He is doing. But there's some things that He did that we can't do. First of all, we can't save anyone. You can't save anyone. The grace evangelist in the world, Billy Graham, could not save anyone. Only God can save people. We can't heal anyone. Now, we can pray. We can believe God. We can be the vessels that He can flow through, but we don't have the power to heal anyone. We can't change anyone. Just think about how hard it is to change yourself. Just think about how hard it is to get that habit, that besetting sin, to sort of budge in your life. And isn't it interesting that how hard it is to change ourselves, yet we think we can go out and change other people? But we can show compassion. Faith Church, a great opportunity is before us to show the compassion of Jesus Christ to hundreds of kids and their families through the Backpack Project. In addition, we have the opportunity to host hundreds of people on our grounds and share the gospel with them. Yet I want you to understand that biblical compassion is not an event. Biblical compassion is not something you just place on the calendar. Biblical compassion must not be isolated or confined to a certain day, but it must be practiced every day. Compassion will only be cultivated when we see people through the eyes of Jesus, when we see people as He sees them. One example, if you want to turn there with me, is in Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 35 through verse 38, another example of the compassion of Jesus. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them. You see, Jesus had compassion upon individuals or small groups, but there's times that He would look upon the crowds, He would look upon the multitudes, and He would have compassion on them. And why is that? He said, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. I might just add for verse 37 and 38, if you pray that, you're going to be the answer to your own prayer. If you pray, Lord, send out workers into the harvest field, you're going to be the answer to your own prayer, in addition to praying for others to come. But when Jesus saw them, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. The root meaning here is filleting or skinning. As Jesus looked upon the multitudes, it was like they were filleted and they were skinned. They were like without a sheep without a shepherd. Speaks of no direction. No one gave them any guidance. Now, if you know Jesus Christ today, when you face trials, and it's not a matter of if you're going to face a trial, it's a matter of when you are going to face a trial. After a funeral service yesterday, someone after the graveside service slipped over by me and beside me, and I'm not sure who that person was, but they said, "Can you imagine going through something like this not knowing Jesus? Can you imagine what that would be like?" So when Jesus looked upon the multitudes, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. You know, some, certainly not all, but some of the children that will be helped by the Backpack Project come from homes that are pretty low on hope. Pretty low on hope. Tragically, some will come from homes that are even hopeless. You know, this outreach gives us the opportunity to be a ray of hope, to light and to illuminate the love and the compassion of Jesus. You say, "Well, Pastor, does it really make a difference? You give a kid a backpack, you do something for a kid, does it really make a difference?" Let me just remind you, if you're not aware, I mention it from time to time, but your pastor is the product of a Baptist church's bus ministry. I'm the product of someone going door to door and inviting kids to church. And there was times I went because we were going to Dairy Queen for ice cream cones after church. And I can remember the rodeos that we had, a Roundup Sunday in September at this church in Kansas City. And it was Roundup, and we had a rodeo, and oh, it was a whole lot of fun. But let me tell you, it was there that I came to know Jesus. It was there that I was baptized in water. It was there that I sensed and confirmed the call of God to ministry on my life. I was one of those kids that you may look at and say, "Well, that really doesn't make a lot of difference." I want you to know that it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference in a child's life. You know, the rest of the story here in Mark chapter 1 must be read in light of the fact that this man did not ask Jesus for healing. He asked Jesus to be cleansed. And to be healed was just part of the process of being cleansed. You see, Jesus not only wanted to bring healing to the man's leprosy, but this man was crying out to be restored to his family, to be restored to society. And if you go into the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, and under the law, you see that that just didn't happen just like that. That was a process that took place. So Jesus told the man, "Hey, don't go out and tell everybody about what has happened." Of course, word was going to spread by some who were there, but don't go out and do that. Go present yourself to the priest. Be pronounced clean, because those are the ones who pronounce people clean. Today, if you're prayed for at the altar, I would tell you as your pastor, don't go home and discard your medicine. Go present yourself to your doctor. Any healing that comes from the Lord can stand up under the scrutiny of a doctor. And again, Jesus basically said, go to the doctor, because the priests were those who diagnosed and treated and pronounced illnesses and people well in that day. So that's the reason he said, don't go out and tell. This man couldn't keep quiet. He just could not keep quiet. He had been cleansed. His leprosy was gone. Again, Luke says his leprosy was all over this man's body. He was covered with leprosy. And he was cleansed, and he could not keep quiet. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told him to keep quiet, and he told everybody? He commands us to tell everybody. And what do we so often do? We keep quiet. As I close and as we prepare to respond to God's Word, I asked you, have you experienced the compassionate touch of Jesus Christ in your life? Just as he looked upon this man covered with leprosy, a terrible skin disease, and had compassion on them, just as he looked upon the multitudes, 5,000 men, 4,000 men, not to mention women and children, when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, he had compassion on masses of people. I want you to know that he looks upon you. He looks upon your life, and he has compassion. He has compassion. His heart literally goes out to you. You know, if you have children, grandchildren, maybe nieces or nephews, and you know, they stumble, they fall, they fail, they sin. You know, when they come to you, you know what it is for your heart to go out to them. I want you to know God's heart goes out to you in the same way. I read in a book I'm reading on God's grace, the author, who I know, shared that when his children would fail and they would come to him, they didn't need less of him, they needed more of him. And I want you to know God desires to give you more of him. He looks upon your life, what you are going through, what you are facing, or perhaps that sin that you said, I will never go there again. I will never touch that. I will never take that. I will never drink that. I will never say that. I won't go there again, but yet you went there again. He looks at your life with compassion. Or maybe your life has not gone as you had thought it would, or had hoped it would, or had dreamed that it would. There has been sickness that has come into your family. There has been sin that has brought division. There has been loss of job that has brought poverty and need in your life. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ looks at your life, and He looks at you with compassion. Have you heard His words? Be clean. Be clean, not just be healed of a sickness, but be clean, be whole. He wants to make us complete and whole and restored people. Have you heard those words? The first step for that to take place is to come into a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. If you're a religious person and you're just disillusioned by religion, listen, I'll join right in with you on that. There's good reason to be disillusioned by religion as such, as far as the world defines religion. The Bible defines religion to show compassion, to look after widows and orphans in their distress, keep oneself from being polluted from the world. That's the biblical definition of religion in the book of James. But established religion, there's good reason to be disillusioned with that. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've not taken that step, I want to invite you today to take that step, to give your heart, to give your life to Jesus Christ. Thankfully, He has not made that difficult. I'm asking musicians if they would make their way to the platform. He's not made that difficult for us. He has made that simple. For some people, it seems almost too simple. Almost too simple That's all I have to do. Well, that's what God's Word says. And if you would bow your heads with me for just a few moments before we respond further to God's Word. But maybe you're here this morning and you have never heard those words, be clean. You've not had a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have striven and worked and to religion to try to please God. That's not what it's about. It's about the grace of God. It's about the mercy of God. It's about Him cleansing us and forgiving us and receiving us unto Himself. Or maybe today you're just away from the Lord. You knew what it was at one time to walk close to the Lord, but you have walked away. Listen, you have not gone beyond the reach of His love.